We're going to read a passage this morning from Romans chapter 6, and this morning's message is part of a series that you can see the words up on the screen here. It says, you asked for it, and I've asked the congregation for input on topics they'd like to hear a message on, and so this morning's message is about our new identity in Jesus, and it's on the topic about our dying with Jesus in his death and our rising again to new life in him, and how we are made new in Jesus. So that's the topic that we're focusing on as part of this series here this morning. So we're going to read from Romans 6, beginning at verse 1. And before we do that, let's ask God to lead us by his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, as we open your word now, as we have the reading of your word, as we have the preaching of your word, Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, and you've done that through your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord God, we pray that now that you will also work with your Holy Spirit as we read it, as we listen to your word here this morning. Help us to hear the good news about Jesus here this morning. We pray, Lord, that through your word being read and spoken here this morning, that you will give us a renewed sense of hope and meaning and purpose in our lives. And so, Lord God, we pray that you will just make it come alive among us and within us here this morning. I pray that you will help us to just listen with open ears, open hearts, open minds, and help me, Lord, as your servant, to be used as your instrument here to bring good news to your people and to do that to your glory and honor. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And so far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, now, this might surprise some of you, but in my younger years, when I was in high school, I was an incredibly shy person. Now, to those of you who know me now, you might not believe that, but actually, my high school years, that was kind of a tough time for me. It was a lonely time. I didn't have a lot of friends, and if I had to talk to somebody new, I would just freeze, and I didn't know what to say. Now, after high school, I went to a tech college in Kitchener, Conestoga College, and God sometimes has a sense of humor. God somehow arranged things that I ended up with a roommate who was absolutely crazy. He was the craziest person I had ever met. He was totally the opposite of how I was. He just had a crazy outgoing personality, and at first I didn't feel all that comfortable with him, but after a while he rubbed off on me, and after a while I started to join in, and probably within about a 6 month period it was almost like I was a transformed person. I learned to become more outgoing. I learned to meet new people and started to have lots of new friendships. Now as a pastor, I enjoy that aspect of my work of meeting new people, to discover where they live, you know, what they do, the things that they're interested in, you know, things like that. And invariably, as I get to know people, I get to know about their values. I get to see what people think about themselves. And I've discovered that many people, even though they might seem outwardly confident, inwardly, a lot of people struggle with feelings of insecurity and low self-esteem. Many people aren't always that confident about themselves, and especially when they find themselves in new situations. And maybe that's how you feel about yourself at times. And even for us as Christians, a lot of times we're not immune from that kind of feeling about ourselves. Because many of us struggle with what we could call an identity crisis. And we're not always so clear about what it means for us to be a Christian. We don't always grasp the reality of what God has done for us in Jesus. And sometimes without realizing it, we get sucked into Satan's lies about ourselves and what the Bible says about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And that's really nothing new. Ever since the fall into sin, ever since the beginning of time, Satan, the great deceiver, has tried his best to confuse people about the truths of the Bible and about what Jesus has done for us. And really, the central message of the Bible is that God has a plan to bring people back into union with himself. And to have the kind of life and relationship with God that Adam and Eve experienced before the fall into sin. To have the kind of relationship with God when the world was still perfect. Now the Bible is clear that we can't bring that about for ourselves. We all need help. And we can only enjoy a renewed relationship with God through what he has done for us in his son Jesus. That only happens when we are born again by faith in Jesus. And that's exactly where Satan will try his best to deceive us. Satan tries to convince us that we can somehow win our way into God's favor by our own efforts. And so we just read this passage from Romans 6. In the book of Romans, Paul actually addresses this issue of our relationship with God, that we can't earn our own way into heaven by our own efforts, no matter how hard we might try to live a good life. It's just not possible, says Paul, because we're always going to fall short of God's will in some ways in our lives. And so what Paul does here in the book of Romans, and especially in this chapter 6, is Paul shows how Jesus shatters the deceptive lie that we are in control of our own fate. That Jesus has done for us what we cannot do ourselves. Romans 5 verse 8, Maria already read from that. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In other words, God takes us as we are, and God renews us. And that's why Jesus came into this world in the first place. Jesus came into this world to sacrifice his life on a cross to take the sin of this world upon himself. Jesus died a horrible death to take away your sin and my sin. And that's the good news of the Bible, that we are no longer dead in our sin because of what Jesus has done for us. That in Jesus, our relationship with God has now been patched up. Our relationship with God has now been restored because of Jesus. Now, when our kids were younger, one of them, I don't know which one of the kids, but one of the kids found a caterpillar outside. And they took this caterpillar and they brought it home and we put it in a glass aquarium. And then we watched what happened. We watched how this caterpillar built itself into a cocoon around itself. And then about 2 weeks later, it was transformed into a beautiful monarch butterfly. And so, as a butterfly, it no longer needed to crawl along in the dirt. It was now a beautiful, brand new creature with beautiful wings to fly where it wanted. And once it turned into a butterfly, of course, we released it, and it was just really cool to see it just fly away on its own. Now, the Bible says that God has a plan to transform each one of us into a beautiful new creation. Like the caterpillar is born again into a new creature, God's desire for each one of us is that we also are born again in order that we can live forever with Jesus in his heavenly kingdom. So how does that happen? The Bible says, Or actually Jesus says it in John chapter 3, that we are born again. We are made new by the Spirit of God who comes to live within us. In other words, the moment that we look to Jesus as our Savior from sin, the moment we embrace Jesus as our Savior from sin, we are born again into a renewed relationship with God. And through our faith in Jesus, we become a spiritually alive new person. As the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. And that's something that the Apostle Paul, as the writer of this book of Romans, that's something that he experienced in his own life. At one point, Paul, he tried to do everything on his own. He thought he was a pretty good person, but then he had a dramatic conversion experience. We can read about that in the Bible in Acts 9. And there, Paul came to realize for himself that he could do nothing on his own without what Jesus had done for us. And Paul says that's something that I would like to see that each one of us experiences, that new life in Jesus. Now, a little bit later in the service, we're going to have something really special happen. We're going to have a baptism for Chris Parks here later in the service. And at that time of the service, we're going to invite Chris to get into the tank, and then a couple of us are going to lower him under the water, and then we'll be nice enough to lift them back up again. And the Apostle Paul says that whenever there's a baptism like that, the baptism graphically depicts what happens to us when we become a new person in Jesus. Paul says in Romans 6 verse 4, we were therefore united with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 5 through 8, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self, the life of sin, was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Now, if we live with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. What Paul is saying here is that when we become a Christian, when we profess our faith in Jesus, and when we become part of God's family, the church, Paul says we can't just continue living the kind of life like we did before. Paul says we are now transformed into a new creation, and we are now empowered by the Holy Spirit to turn away from the sinful ways of this world. Because without Jesus, we are merely like a caterpillar crawling along in the dirt of sin. But because of our faith in Jesus, God now transforms us into a new creation. Like that of a butterfly, we can now fly away from the dirt of sin in our lives. Because Jesus now comes to live within us by his Holy Spirit. Jesus empowers us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. In other words, to be a Christian entails something more than just believing that Jesus forgives us and that because of Jesus that we're going to go to heaven someday. To believe in Jesus is more than just a kind of life insurance policy to make sure that we'll go to heaven someday when we die. What the Bible says is that for us to be a Christian, it means that our old self that's controlled by sin and Satan is now done away with. We now become a new self, a new person in Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we're no longer tempted to do things wrong in our lives again, that we no longer sin in our lives. That's not what that means. We're still going to mess up in our lives. We're still going to do some dumb and downright sinful things, because the fact is we're still far from perfect in this life. We will not be perfect until we come to heaven. But what Paul makes clear here is that in Jesus, we experience an inner transformation when we experience Jesus as Savior. And bit by bit, as we look to Jesus, then the sinful things of this world will no longer be as appealing to us. Bit by bit, we will start to take on the character of Jesus in our lives. And bit by bit, we will start thinking less of ourselves, and we will start to love and serve other people as Jesus has modeled for us in his own life here on earth. As Paul says in the Bible in Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. In other words, as followers of Jesus, we now have a new identity as we live in this world. We're no longer hopelessly trapped in the sinful, self-centered ways of this world. Now, because of Jesus, we have now been released from the grip that Satan once had on us. And we can now choose to live for Jesus. And Jesus now empowers us by his Holy Spirit to live a life for him, to do what we cannot do in our own strength. And that's what we're celebrating here this morning. That's what we're celebrating in the people who are joining our church today. That God has been at work in their lives to change their lives to be more like Jesus. That by God's grace and love for us in Jesus, God will continue to work in their lives, and God will continue to work in all of our lives by his Holy Spirit to enable us to live the Christian life, and more so to enable us to share the good news of his love and his forgiveness to us in Jesus, and that we share that with the people of this community who have not yet experienced that new identity in Jesus. And that's my hope and my prayer for us as a church, that God will inspire us and equip us and enable us to share that hope of our newness in Jesus with the people of this community. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can come to you in our brokenness, with all our imperfections. And we thank you that you promise that you have a new life that's available for each one of us. We know that in and of ourselves, we just kind of muddle along in our brokenness, in our sin. But we thank you for the assurance that we can be born again in Jesus, that our old self of sin can be buried with Jesus through his death, and that we can be raised to a new life in Jesus through his resurrection. Lord, that's something that maybe we don't fully understand. It's something that's really somewhat mysterious, how that happens, how we become new people in Jesus. And we know that that's not something that we can bring about on our own. That's only something that you can do for us through your Holy Spirit living within us. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come into our lives. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch each of our lives here this morning and that you will stir our hearts to look to Jesus in a fresh new way. That you will work in our hearts to change us, to transform us to be more and more like Jesus, to make the sin of our lives less appealing to us. And so, Lord God, that you will in that way work within us and through us that we can live our lives for Jesus in this world. And we pray, Lord God, that you will help us as a church to live that out among the people of this community. That people may see Jesus living within us. That people may see that we love you and serve you because of your goodness and your grace to us. And we pray, Lord, that you will use us in that way then to touch the lives of people around us so that they too may experience new life in Jesus. And so we pray that in his name. Amen.